I had kind of, I had my heart on another message tonight, and then I saw all the children, and I thought, I'm going to go a different direction tonight. And then we started dismissing children, and I thought, I'm going to be going back the other direction tonight. And since we didn't lose all the children, I'm going to go with the direction I first had tonight. Are you confused yet? Psalm 19, let's go there tonight. And I want to share some things, some of my favorite things, some things that have been on my heart for years and that I have always enjoyed. We've been on the mission field now for so many years, and we get a chance to see God's creation really close up. I mean, we had a baby ocelot. There's a picture on the table up on the top of that map. That's kind of like a mid-sized cat. Some Indian boys found it in the jungle, and it was almost dead. It was, well, later we found out it was an epileptic, and it was, I guess, having seizures, and his mother just left it. It was sick, and, you know, that would just slow her down, get her killed, so she just left it. Some boys found it, and they brought it to the white people because they know we're kind of crazy and we like all the animals. And they always try to bring them and sell them and make a little bit of money, and, of course, it doesn't cost a whole lot. We pay them when they bring us some little critter, you know. And my kids got to fix up some things and patch up some things. They found a sloth. You know what a sloth is? I don't know what kind of money this one would have been worth, but we found, actually Tim and Michelle found a sun-back sloth. Now that, on their back, on their fur, it looks like a sunburst, the design. Never, ever saw one before like that. Some of our people never saw one like that. It was probably worth a fortune. I don't know. Well, that's not why we do it, you know. But that just happened, you know, over the millions of years of the evolutionary process, you know. That's so when the sloth is up in the trees and the animal looks up there, it's got that sun-back design and it can blend in with the sun. Amen? You know, the evolutionists, you know what I'm talking about tonight. I'm being facetious. But the evolutionists got all kinds of reasons for all this stuff. We've had five different kinds of monkeys. Five different kinds of monkeys. And they are all different. Every species has its own thing that it does. They breed with their own kind, like it says in Genesis, everything after his kind. And they got different things that they do. One of the monkeys we had in Grenada on my first term in missions years ago was a Mona monkey. It actually comes from Africa, and they brought him into Grenada for a source of wild meat because there was nothing to eat, no kind of meat, lots of spices and lots of fruits and vegetables, but no meat on the proper, on the land. And so they brought all these monkeys in, people. There's still monkey meat on the menu today. And I've never eaten it. I can't imagine. It looks like, you know, a little person, you know. And we've been taught through the evolutionary thing. We've been taught that that's our ancestors. I want to tell you something. You're not as smart as Jasper was. And you can't do the things that Jasper did. We didn't come from monkeys. Jasper could climb up in a sapodilla tree. That's a fruit tree, and it doesn't taste like any kind of fruit you've ever had unless you've had sapodilla. But Jasper would climb up in that sapodilla tree, and then he would just let go. He would drop about 20 feet. He's about a foot tall monkey. He would drop about 20 feet and just grab a limb. He could grab a limb with his right hand, his left hand, his lower right hand, or his lower left hand. You think they have two hands and 2 feet, but they have a thumb down there. It operates just like a hand. It's amazing. Do they have 4 hands or do they have 2 feet and 2 hands? You figure it out. I mean, the one on the foot, you know, what we would call the foot seems longer, but it's amazing. And he would drop about 20 feet, a little 1 foot tall monkey. He would drop about 20 feet and then just grab a limb and swing over to another limb and have the time of his life. Now, I figured that out one day. I said, take an average man that's 6 foot tall, amen, let him drop 20 times his height. This monkey's about a foot tall. We've seen him drop 20 feet. I want to see you, Pastor. You're about 6 foot tall. I want to see you drop 20 times your height. That would be what? That's a long way. And then grab a limb. Your arm would still be hanging up there, and the rest of you would be down there splattered. And even if you could grab a limb, you wouldn't be swinging from that one to another one, and you certainly couldn't do it with your foot. You know, I mean, and then I got thinking, our best people in the Olympics. I wanted to go in the Olympics when I was in high school. I used the parallel bars. I used to love it. If I could have got a sponsor, I think I could have went somewhere with it. I don't know. But I used to really enjoy it. And it takes a lot of training. And our best people in the Olympics have to be trained and trained. It takes a lot of money and a lot of training. And that might be one really good person out of a school or out of a family. All of Jasper's cousins could do that stuff. Evolution is so impossible. If you just stop and think about it, it's so impossible. If you stop and think about all the varieties, Jasper had a pouch in his mouth. When we first met that kind of a monkey, I had a 10-cent coin, and I was tapping it on a cage at a government compound. I was tapping that coin on a cage, and that monkey grabbed that coin from me and swallowed it, and I could see it right there. And I thought, man, I'm going to kill this monkey. And they're gonna be a guard. They're gonna come and arrest me. He's gonna choke to death for sure. And I was watching, and then all of a sudden he went like this, and I thought he was choking. He was taking his wrist and his foot, and he pulled that coin out, played with it a little while longer. I tried. He reached in there, he threw it in his mouth again, swallowed it again. I said, "What is he doing?" You know. And I found out later that this monkey has a pouch, has like two pockets inside here. After we got one, we raised him in our home. After we got one, we would give him raisins. He would give him the raisins, and he would just stuff raisins in his mouth. And what he was doing is, you could see the bulges. He was filling up his front pockets. He was filling up his pockets. And he'd play a little while, pull out a raisin, eat it, you know, play a little while, pull out another raisin, eat it. He had little pockets. No other kind of monkey got pockets like that. And he would use his tail like part of his, you know, just like an extra hand. He would use his tail. The monkey we have right now is called the white-faced Saki. And he's a white face, all black fur, beautiful tail. And one day, I was out on the front veranda, and I had to catch him. He plays outside in the trees all day. Then he comes in when he's hungry, and he always grabs her on the arm or on the leg, and like, "Mommy, Mommy, feed me," you know. And he likes her a lot because she feeds him. And he was loose one day, and we had to go somewhere, so I started grabbing, and I got his tail. And I realized for the first time, this monkey does not use his tail. Unlike any other, we've had five different kinds of monkeys, this species of monkey does not use his tail. He was just hanging there, and he couldn't pull up, he couldn't swing up, he couldn't grab me, he was just hanging in midair by his tail. And I thought, man, is there something wrong with him? He does not use his tail. Then I got thinking, I've never seen him swing from the tree, in the tree by his tail. I've never seen him pick up his leash with his tail. We had a ringtail monkey, and he would be tied with a little belt around his waist. You take a cat collar, put it around their waist like a belt, hook a leash on it, put a ring on it, and you know those dog runs, you know? And that's how we keep him outside and kind of train him, work with him a little bit. He would be walking around out there, and he'd just reach back with his tail and pick up his leash, and he wouldn't get tangled up or anything. He'd just be walking around holding his leash up with his tail. And I thought, I never saw Jasper, or what's his name, Ramey, the one we have right now, I never saw Ramey use his tail that way. They're all different. They're all different, each one after his kind. And when they go to try to find the missing link, my friend, they're going to have to find a lot more links than one. They're going to have to find thousands of missing links. Amen. We had a baby jaguar. They only get to be about 9 feet long. But we got him a little too late, and we were trying to feed it, you know, bottle feed it, and he'd bite the bottle and bite. I had to hand him with welding gloves, and so we finally gave him to the zoo. But what a creature, what an animal! You know, his claws, those things are, I mean, massive. He was just young, but they were just massive. Those things retract, and they just close up inside. You know, you can't do that. You can't tuck your fingernails in under your skin. You know. But they do. Dogs don't do that. Monkeys don't do that. Giraffes don't do that. Horses don't do that. Cats do that. That's their thing. So you'd have to find missing links between all these things. And I just believe there's enough variety out there in creation that God gave us enough so we could walk outside and we could look up, like it says in Psalm 19, we could see all those stars up there and we could just say, glory to God. Let me move to a piece of creation tonight, and I won't be long. I won't hold you long. But let me move to a piece of creation tonight from Psalm 19. I want to share some things about the sun, the moon, and the stars, and I hope this will be a blessing and encouragement to you. And I just want you to know we have a Savior that's there for us. He made all of it. He set it all in perfect timing. He's right on time with our lives, with the things that happen in our life. It's all right on time. God knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. He has always known. He will always know. And we're safe in his arms. Amen. So we pray, and then we'll go to Psalm 19. Father, thank you tonight for your word. And I pray, Lord, you take these simple things tonight and just use it, Lord, to encourage some of these young people to go on and serve you all of their days. Bless our families, Lord. Bless the church that's here and its future, Lord. May they reach their potential and be all that you want them to be. And I pray, God, as they reach out, as they make decisions, as they go into this project, Lord, for the new parking lot, you'll provide the funds and all that they need. God, that you'll provide workers and laborers and Lord, just people that will dedicate themselves to serve you. And Lord, tonight we love you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done for us. And we pray you bless now your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. As we look at this tonight in Psalm 19, I just want you to remember a piece from this tonight. And maybe when you go outside and you see all those stars, maybe there's a few words you'll be able to remember. I'll tell you what to do when you go outside and see all those stars later on. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Now that is talking about the sun and the stars, the creation that God gave us up there in the sky. Then it goes right into another topic in Psalm 19. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I left out a piece of it there, and I apologize. I just look back and see that I skipped some. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. It goes into something about the Word of God. In verse 7, 8, and 9, it talks about the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord, and then the judgments of the Lord. And all those things are there for us to perfect us and help us to be what God wants us to be. He wants you to know that as you sit home and you read your Bible and as you try to grow in grace and be all that he wants you to be, then when you go outside at night and you look up there and see those stars, or when you go outside during the daytime and you see that sun, you know that all of it came from him. You just know that there is a God that made those things. And then that same God that made those things gave us his word to perfect us and help us to be all that he wants us to be. He didn't start you out on this Christian life and then just leave you like a sinking ship. He gave you his word, and he gave you a pastor. He gives you opportunities to serve him so that you can grow and reach your potential. When you look out there and you see those heavens, they do something. Chapter 19, verse 1 said, the heavens declare the glory of God. When you look up there and you see the firmament, that's that big space up there. It does something. The firmament showeth his handiwork. When you look up there, you see the handiwork of God. It is the most amazing thing. If you've never taken time to look, you ought to do it. And those of you that have ever looked and ever thought about it, you ought to do it again. And I want to encourage you by sharing a couple things with you tonight about the heavens and the firmament and the space that's out there. Some amazing things. In these last days, knowledge increases, and we have opportunity to see things and to know things that people never knew before. They got crazy ideas about the foundation of the world. The Bible said the Lord hangeth the earth on nothing. They got crazy ideas about how many stars are out there. You wouldn't believe it. Back in the 1500s, there was a scientist that said there are tens of thousands of stars. Now that's pretty close. That gives you a little room for error. Tens of thousands. Well, how many? You got an S on it, you know, two S's. Tens of thousands. That's a lot. And you know, it's interesting that that man would make that quote, and the Bible said in Jude that the Lord cometh with tens of thousands of his saints. You know, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. And back in the 1500s, this guy tried to estimate how many stars there were, saying there's tens of thousands of them. Now they got these huge telescopes and they're looking up there and they're saying that the space, let's look at these lights up here for just a minute. Let's pretend those are stars. They're saying that the black space between the stars has as many stars in it or more than what you can see with your eyes. The black space in between all those stars got as many or more again than what you can see with your eyes. That's a lot of stars. And so now they're saying it's not tens of thousands. They got stuff, man. They're proving it now. They're saying there are approximately 100 million or 100 billion to 150 billion stars. You run your business that way with that kind of approximation. That's pretty close. That only gives you error, room for error, you know, 50 billion room for error, you know. They're saying there's somewhere like 100 billion to 150 billion stars. What they're really saying is they don't know how many there are. But then they're trying to figure out how many galaxies there are, and somebody said there's upwards of 100 million galaxies that could also have somewhere between 100 billion and 150 billion stars. So they're all out there scratching their heads, and we got our Bible, and we look out there tonight, we see all those stars, and the Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God. The best thing you can do when you go outside and you see all those stars, you can just say glory to God. Amen. And stop trying to figure out how many there are, because you'll never do it. How do I know you'll never do it? Well, the scientists can't do it. We don't have the equipment nor the money. They're wasting money trying to figure it out, because that old-fashioned Bible said the stars are innumerable. That's what the Bible said. So all we do is go out there and say, we know how many there are. There's more than you can count. It's innumerable. That's a Bible answer. And so we can say glory to God. We look out there, and while the world scratches their head and they try to figure out how all of this evolved, you know, this Big Bang thing. I told you those scientist guys come over there and get in our schools. There is in our library a poster that shows how all the gases, all from nothing, all gathered together to form something, and it blew up and put everything into perfect orbit. And it's even on the poster, the Big Bang Theory. It's got the Big Bang, and it shows all that gas that formed in that little pond out there in the middle of nowhere. Nothing came from nothing. And then it exploded and became all of this. Hello? I don't know how they can get us to try to believe that. We're right in the middle of the school system down there, and I know how God put all that into space. He spoke it into existence. They said, man, that's hard to believe. Well, evolution is harder to believe. I'm just thanking the Lord that we got a Bible that tells us so many different things. The heavens declare the glory of God. We look out there and we say, I know who made that. And we don't bat an eyeball about it. And listen, there is not one child anywhere in the world that believes in evolution. Not till they're taught that that thing is true. There's people all around the world. They've never been taught. They don't know where it came from. There's people, you get missionary reports from all over the world. They walk outside. They try to figure out how that happened. And they know there's something or someone out there that's bigger than them. And I believe with all of my heart that God put that in our hearts so that we would seek Him. We would try to find out who made all this. And it has perfect order, so it didn't just happen. We're right in the middle of all those schools, and I told her, you know, our house, we can see from our house when they build and when they cut the grass and everything that goes on, somebody speeding up and down the road, man, I call the police. Amen. We got a lot of kids on that road. I've seen cars run them down that road, and some of our kids just jump off of the sidewalk to get out of the way. I call the police and report them. They love me. Amen. We're right in the middle of all those kids, 700 kids in our primary school. And I told our church family one day, I said, I was there. I said, I watched. I said, they brought in truckloads of material. They built a new dormitory for the students that live down the river that don't have a high school in their village. And they built a new dormitory right across from us. And I said, I was there. I watched them. They brought in truckloads of sand and truckloads of cement and stone. And then they brought wire and wood and they brought paint and all these things. And they stacked it all up. And then you wouldn't believe it. They brought some guys in there with a big bomb. And they blew that thing up, all that material. They just blew it up. And I said, it was dust everywhere. And when the dust settled, there was a building. And you know, I couldn't convince our people that's how that happened. And you're not going to convince me. Listen, an explosion. I saw the print shop the other day, an explosion downstairs, and that print shop not going to bind those books. Maybe when you get a burst of energy, there'll be some books bound. Amen? Amen. But explosions don't put things together. They take things apart. Ask my son. He'll tell you about that. That was his specialty. Amen? When you look out there and you see all those stars and all that God put out there in that wide open space, it's there so we can just say glory to God. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We got some things on the display table tonight, some handcraft projects people made, and people, you know, we try to display it a little bit there and show what they did, a couple little things, and we got that nice piece of cloth. That's so we can show our handiwork. Amen. Somebody said, when did you bring that cloth from the jungle? No, we got that at Walmart. Amen. Amen. But we try to make it, you know, a little colorful, and so we could just show some things about the work. And you go to flea markets, and people lay out their stuff in a little handcraft. You ever been to those craft products, those craft things? And they lay out all that stuff, and they're just trying to show what they made. The Bible said the firmament showeth his handiwork. They just show us what God made. He made it all. He gave those stars a name. He said he telleth them by their name. All those stars have a name. To us, they're innumerable. To him, they are not innumerable. He knows all of it. He made all of it. He knows all of it. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show with his handiwork. It said in verse 2, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. They're always out there working. Whatever's out there in that sky is always out there working, day and night. It'll be nighttime here pretty soon. It'll be daytime somewhere else. They'll get their opportunity to enjoy the sun for 12 hours while we enjoy 12 hours of nighttime. And it all rotates perfectly. God made it that way. He said in verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Whose voice? The missionary's voice? Uh-uh. Your voice? Uh-uh. The voice of the heavens and the firmament. That's the context. You read it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, the heavens and the firmament, they're the ones that are uttering the speech. Night unto night, they're the ones that are showing knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. In the heavens. In the firmament, he just made a backdrop for the sun. Let me share a couple thoughts with you. This is just, to me, just so wonderful to be able to walk outside and say, I know who made that. Amen? If it was hot for you today, you should have been upstairs in the men's meeting at 5:30. Amen. Definitely was cooler outside. Amen. Amen. If it was hot for you today, you can thank God. You can thank God that the sun is only 93 million miles away from the earth. You can thank God it's not any closer or you'd have been hotter. It is 93. You know, that's a lot of miles. All the children, all the young people say 93 million miles. Say it. 93 million miles. That's a long ways away. Amen? That's how far away the sun is. And it looks so big. You know, in comparison to all those other lights you see out there, the sun is one of the smallest. It's very small. You know, some of those stars are long ways. If the sun is 93 million miles away and it's really small in comparison to how big those really are, then they are a long, everybody say, long ways away. Put the L there. Long, all the kids. Amen? Long way. And they are the sun is 93 million miles. If it was any farther away, we'd freeze to death. If the sun was any closer, we'd burn up. And not only that, but God, when he put all this into training, I don't want to say when it all blew up like the evolutionists, when God built it, put it all together, put it and set it in perfect timing, he designed the earth to rotate at 1,000 miles an hour. The earth turns at 1,000 miles an hour. Not more, not less. If the earth turns at 1,000 miles an hour, and you've got 12 hours of day and 12 hours of night, how long would the nighttime be if the earth turned at 100 miles an hour? 10 times slower. The earth turns slower, 10 times slower. Our nighttime would be 10 times longer. How would you like to have 120 hours of nighttime instead of 12 hours of nighttime? How would you survive 120 hours of that daytime sun that we had today? We couldn't survive it. It gets hot, man. We're looking for nighttime. We're in the jungle. And it gets hot down there sometimes. It's hot and it's humid. It's humid year-round, 100% humidity. When it's hot in the jungle, nighttime, with all that humidity, it gets cold in the jungle. It cools down around 80. It's comfortable. I'm not joking. We saw it get really cold. Once we had a cold snap, it got 72 degrees. It's the coldest we ever saw it. She thought it was going to snow. Amen. But if the nights were 120 hours and the day was 120 hours, life could not exist. God designed the earth to spin at 1,000 miles an hour so we could get 12 hours of each, and everybody gets their share. All of it is done. The Bible said there's nothing hid from the heat of the sun. God designed it that way. It's all set up that way in perfect timing. And I want to say once again, the heavens declare the glory of God. I think if the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament can show his handiwork, I want to close. I want to finish tonight. But if the heavens can declare the glory of God and the firmament can show his handiwork, then we are to show the glory of God in our life. We are a piece of work. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We're his workmanship. We're a project that he has personally took on to work on us and help us. We are to glorify God in that workmanship. He's been working on us. I like that little song, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." It took him just a week to make the moon and the sun and the moon and the stars, Jupiter, Earth, and Mars or something. He's still working on me though. You know, when you go through something in your life, you just need to stop and say, you know, God is working on my behalf. Like Pastor said earlier, God has entrusted you with that trial. And you ought to try to say glory to God. You ought to try to say glory to God. Let that trial or whatever it is you're going through bring glory to him. You look outside and you see those stars, you'd be reminded to say glory to God. Amen. We see the heavens and we say, we know who made that. And the heavens are there to declare the glory of God. And you are here. Listen, most people are not going to look up, especially in this day and age. They're not going to look up and believe that God made all that. They're going to look up and believe in evolution. They're going to look out there and believe in evolution. But when they look at you, they should be able to say, the glory of God is evident. God has been working in your life. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our life and the very things we do should bring glory to him. And then the heavens declare the glory of God, but then the firmament, that space out there, it shows his handiwork. In your very life, God has given you some space. God has given you some time in this great plan. Whatever that is for you, amen? God has given you a little time in that space, a little dash between your birth date and your death date, and you've got a little spot in the middle. And James said it's a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You're not going to be here very long. It may seem long, but look at the time. My son is 31 years old, my firstborn. I left Grace Baptist in Beaver Dams 21 years ago. You've been here, what, 25 years? Where has the time gone? Some of you older folks say amen. I mean, where has the time gone? God just gives us that little dash between our birth date and our death date. And we're here so that we can get people to see that there's a God. We can help to point them to the one that made everything. We're here to declare His handiwork in our life. Listen, I didn't save myself. If I did anything good, it was because of Jesus. And I mean that. I'm not trying to be humble. I know exactly what I am. And I know how corrupt this flesh is. If there's anything that we accomplish in this life, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to point people to Him. We want to say thank God for His workmanship at work in our lives. I went to a young man at a church. He sang a special at a church. And I like special music. I don't always get to hear a lot of special music when we travel because we do the singing, and sometimes, you know, people chop their special music and make space for us. So when we get to hear special music, I enjoy it. I really do. I went to this young man. I said, man, I appreciate your song. I said, I enjoyed your song. He said, yeah, I can sing. I wanted to take back my handshake. Just pride, you know. He said, yeah, I can sing. He didn't say glory to God or thank God or whatever, you know. Most of us don't feel like we're a whole lot. In the whole big scheme of things, in God's big plan, we don't seem like we're much. But I'm going to tell you something. God has every one of us here for a purpose. I like that little sign I saw a long time ago. I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm a child of the King. He's my Father. There's royal blood connected to this family that I'm in. Amen? I'm going to heaven. It's not because of me. It's not because of what I've done. It's all because of Jesus. You're not one of us trying to be humble about that or anything. It's just, that's not a matter. What we're saying is He gets the glory. And so when people look at your life, if you accomplish anything in this life, if you are able to help somebody, just say glory to God. That's what it's all about. You look out there tonight and see the stars. Be reminded to give God the glory. Be reminded to show forth His handiwork in your life. God's at work in your heart. Don't be afraid to show somebody or tell somebody that God's been working in your heart. It helps them to know that He's alive and well. Amen? Let's pray together tonight. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And I don't know what the needs are in this auditorium tonight. God's the only one that could know such a thing. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor to do the invitation time here in just a moment. But I don't know where you are or what's really happening or why you came back to church tonight. Some of you are just faithful and you say, well, I'm going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's what I do. But don't just go through the motions. If that's what you do, if that's what you've given yourself to do, then let God help you reach your potential. Be all that God wants you to be. Let God get the glory through your life. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible said in 2 Peter, He gets the glory now and forever. People can see a step of growth in your life. They can see a step of faith that you made in your life, and they'll say glory to God. And you will be an encouragement to someone else. Everything you hold back from serving Him, you just do a disservice to the grace of God. Give it to the Lord tonight. Whatever's happening, your struggles, your fears, your burdens, just lay it down. And I know that sounds easy to do. It's not as hard as you might think. Some of you don't know where to start tonight. You wouldn't even know where to begin to pray and try to make something really right with God. Just open your mouth and say, Lord, I need You. Or, Lord, help me. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like quitting. You say, Lord, I just felt like quitting and I don't want to quit. I want to do the right thing. You take a step and He'll meet you. Amen? If you feel like you need to come and pray and make some things right or just come pray for someone else tonight, you come and pray during the invitation time. God will do what He wants to do. Father, thank You for Your Word. And I pray, God, You'll give Pastor a special wisdom, Lord, how to close this service. And, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, may it be done tonight before they leave this place. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here that's hurting and struggling, that You'll encourage them. May they not give up, God. May they just get a new glimpse of what You might want to do in their life. Lord, give them some hope and show them their future. Give them a chance to do something. May they begin, Lord, by making a step tonight in the right direction. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for being there for us. Thank You for making all that You made on our behalf. And thank You for showing us that You made it and that You're alive and well working in our hearts. And thank you again for this time. Bless the invitation time in Jesus' name. Pastor, you.